Welcome to County Edition on 1590 KVGB 95.5 FM. Barton County Sheriff Brian Bellendier has joined us for the show. Destination listening.
Say again?
It's destination listening.
Oh, okay.
Appointment listening.
Yeah.
How you doing, Brian?
Very well. Got a little precipitation today.
Yeah.
Things
how about
are
that?
Looking better.
Yeah, we had like 10 hundreds here earlier this morning. Okay. We've got a lot of things to talk about.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to start with an incident that happened last week. And it was called an active shooter at the Center for Counseling Consultation. I heard all the sirens going on. Then social media gets going. My grandkids are watched by them. And, you know, don't let them outside because someone's going to come running down. We had a school lockdown. So kind of take me through the response, because thank goodness it wasn't anything turned out to be serious, but
yeah,
it's still, if you look at it in the long run, Brian, it's training for first responders, right?
It is. And it proves our concept of response that we have for that sort of situation. Since, you know, ever since Columbine, the recommendation is don't wait for tactical units. And then with the recent issue at Uvalde, Texas, they hesitated. We received a report that a gunman had entered the building, somebody armed with a handgun. They even had a description of the guy. It sounded 100% legitimate. So once the radio call went out, they initially dispatched the police department. But once local law enforcement in the county heard that, everybody responded. It was all hands on deck. And I happened to be, I don't know, one of the third or fourth units that arrived there. And the chief was there shortly after, so we had command staff there. But we did exactly as we have planned to do this, is with an immediate response. You know, we got to the front of the building. It was locked. So we forced entry, and we started clearing it room by room. There were still employees and clients in the building, so we had to get them cleared out and get them out of the building, make sure we weren't clearing the gunman out with the building. And all in all, you know, there's always stuff you can improve on, but we've discussed it several times after the fact, and all in all, between the police department, sheriff's office, highway patrol, I think there was an excellent response. There should be no doubt in any citizen's mind, in Barton County at least, that if there is a problem like this, we're going to be there, and we will come ready to deal with it. That's the main thing, is, you know, the problem at Uvalde is they waited around for keys, they didn't make entry. We did none of that. We forced entry, you know, and some things got broken along the way, but that's just, that's going to happen. No, I can't wait. You know, we cannot wait. We did not know if there was a gunman in the building. So we did what we had to do, and all in all, it worked out very well.
Didn't it turn out to be like a guy with a flip phone on his belt?
Yeah. That's my understanding.
Okay. So did everybody in the building know that there was supposed to be an active shooter, or did we go in there and some people went, what are these guys doing?
Yeah, they locked down their building.
Okay.
They had gone into a lockdown situation, which, you know, shout out to them. They did a good job. Once we breached the front door and got in, there was nobody to be seen in there. They had all done what they were supposed to do. They went into rooms, they locked the doors, and we cleared them room by room by room. And
well, how'd you find out the guy that had the flip phone?
I believe they played some video back after the fact.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah, this is a police department investigation, but
okay, sure. So, what's going through your mind when you're racing down there to get to Patton Road?
Yeah, I just happened to be on the west side of town. I was at a local business here in town, I don't know. You know, what goes through your mind is, this is bad. This is the real deal. We're going to have to deal with it. You don't have time to. You're thinking about what we have to do tactically so much that you don't really have time to contemplate what you're doing. Even once we forced entry, you know, we were faced with room after room, you know, dozens of rooms in that building. You just start in and you go down the line and you do what you need to do. You know, we had two teams in there clearing the building. I was with one, the chief was with the other, and we got it cleared pretty fairly quickly.
How soon did you find out that, I mean, you had to go to the replay monitor?
Yeah, it was after the fact, after yep. we had completely cleared everything.
So we still don't know that, you know, if this guy got out or not at that point.
No, okay. we didn't know until
okay. All right.
after we had completely cleared the building. Well, and the other thing is, you did not want to bring any employees back in until you were confident that there was a minimal risk, you know. And there's a lot of area in that building, so a lot of doors.
But were you confident that the person had not escaped?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
We had cleared every room.
Okay. All right.
And we'd found what we believed to be every person in the building, which it was. And then once that had happened, that's when they
did. The person know that? I'm not trying to get. Did that person know that he was whatever? He was the active shooter?
No, he did okay. not. Matter of fact, we cleared him out of a room. Later, he was in a room. He didn't know.
Okay. Good practice, though.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
because you've gone through this before. Because we had the guy in the parking lot with basically a hostage at Perkins, right? Several years.
Oh yeah, that's been what, 7, 8, 9 years ago, I suppose.
Yeah, a long time ago. So
yeah, but you know, I would rather that it went this way,
yeah.
than somebody hesitate and say, "Well, was that a gunman or not?" You know, or hesitate calling us. Just be aware you're going to get a big response when it happens.
A big response indeed, because I was going home about that time. What was the traffic like? People trying to go by and see what was going on.
Oh, you know, fortunately. Yeah, I think we had probably more listeners on scanners and standing out front than the radio station did at that point. But fortunately, you know, we were able to secure the parking area.
Okay, yeah.
And we used the funeral home next door for a staging area for the employees, and we were far enough off the roadway that it really wasn't a problem. But once I got out of the building and, you know, things had settled down a little bit, there was just traffic everywhere. Yeah. People parked across the street at the church watching, and, yeah, there's all kinds of people checking it out.
But it does go, and again, thank goodness nothing happened and everything, but man, these are, I mean, as much to the live training as you can get on something like this. So,
yeah, I mean, it went well. I was proud of my people and the police department's people. You know, there wasn't, we made the decision. There was no hesitation. We went in and did what we had to do. And I'm glad it all worked out the way it did. But yeah, you're right. This is as close to real world. Well, it was real world. Mm-hmm. It was just misunderstanding.
Man, you just hope, you know, all the time. Just like I said, I ask, you know, what you're thinking down there. I say, well, you know, we've been pretty much spared this, but here we go. It's finally come here to Central Kansas.
It does scare me. You know, it could happen any place. It could be a school. It could be a business. I mean, any place. That is something that is always on our mind. It's not something you worry about every day, but it's always on the forefront when you get that person with a gun call or a shots fired call. It's always on your mind, you know, what exactly are we dealing with? You know, and we're in a rural area, so, you know, people toting guns around, and Kansas has an open and concealed carry law, so it's not that unusual for somebody to be carrying a gun, and, you know, that's their right to do so. But you're always concerned that you're going to have some nutcase open fire in a, you know, at a sporting event, at a department store, in a school, you know, and we do discuss it. I mean, what we will do is, you know, how we will make entry, because some of these places are not going to be easy to get into because of their security. You know, it holds the good guys out just as much as it holds the bad guys out, but we have ways around that. So, and we've done some training, particularly after the Uvalde incident. We did some range training and some tactical stuff to demonstrate how to breach doors and how to gain entry and how to clear stuff. So it's, like I say, it's something that's always on our mind, but it's not something we worry about day in, day out, but it is something that's right up front of, you know, it ranks right up there with tornadoes, and, you know, we see more tornadoes than we do shootings, fortunately, but it ranks right up there with things that you think about in your career. How are we going to deal with this if it happens? You know, and I've been around long enough that I've experienced a lot of it. You know, I've seen shootings and homicides and suicides and tornadoes and floods, all that stuff I've been through. But, you know, I have not been into a mass shooting incident, and I hope I make it through my career, and I'm not. I never have to.
I'm older, okay? I mean, I went through high school. We didn't have stuff like this.
No.
It's just like, when did Columbine change it? Somebody's got to do the deed, right? The horrific thing first, and then it seems like, okay, well, maybe I can do that. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to preface this with, I am not a psychologist, okay, and I am okay. Not. I think, I remember being in high school. I went to school here in Great Bend, and we all had shotguns in our gun racks and our pickups.
Yeah.
I mean, that was common practice. Something changed. I believe it is social media. I believe it is the lack of physical interaction between young people. You know, it has always amazed me. Once in a while, I'm out on a Saturday night or a Friday night, and Great Men be 9, 10 o'clock, and I'll be on Main Street. There's nothing.
Nobody.
You could fire a cannon in both directions and not hit anything. When I was a youngster, you know, young adult, we drug Maine, and it was just jam packed, and there was interaction between you and your friends. And I think what a lot of this is now, it is, there is no physical interaction between young people. You can go online, and no matter what you believe, or what kind of ideas you have, or what crazy ideas you have, you can find somebody else that will agree with you out of the, you know, hundreds of millions of people that are online. You know, whereas back in the day, I think that social interaction between kids kept some of this in check. That's just the world according to Belladeer.
No, it's just weird because, as you said,
because if you look at this, you know, there's always been, if you look at Wikipedia and look up school shootings or mass shootings, or I believe it's school shootings, there's school shootings go all the way back to the 1800s, 1700s, actually. This is not a new phenomenon, but it is becoming more and more prevalent. You're seeing it more and more and more, and it is, you know, when I was a young man, I mean, like I said, we all had shotguns or rifles. Everybody had
but two guys, one a shotgun and a rifle in the back in the gun rack of their truck, would get out and have a fist fight somewhere.
Right.
And that's how it was decided. I'm not saying that's the best thing.
It never crossed our mind to go shoot up a school.
No.
I mean, it was just completely unheard of. And I think that's what it is. I think that there's just not enough social interaction between young people anymore. And if you look at when these, you know, the other thing is we have 24-hour news coverage now, and you hear about all these things where 30 years ago might have just been a blurb in the paper. But if you look at the increase in these, it has happened since the internet has become commonplace, where you can get online and say, I'm going to shoot up my school, and you can find somebody else that says, yeah, that sounds cool, go for it. You know, whereas in 1980, somebody said, you know, are you nuts? What are you talking about? There were checks and balances in social interaction, and I don't think that happens anymore. And now you see that in a lot of areas in law enforcement.
Okay, I saw this earlier this week. I'm just going to read the Associated Press story.
I don't know if people know about this, but this show is totally unscripted, and I never know what he's throwing at me.
All right. Phoenix, AP. President Joe Biden has made a number of election year moves intended to appeal to younger voters. The latest is a proposal by the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug, which is under review at the White House Office of Management and Budget. Plan comes just weeks after Biden canceled student loan. Well, anyway, that's kind of getting into the other weeds of it. So what's this mean?
To us, not a heck of a lot right now.
Okay.
They're going from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. Schedule 1 drug is a drug that has no medical value. LSD is Schedule 1. Heroin is Schedule 1. Rohypnol, roofies, that's Schedule 1. I think, if not, it's Schedule 2. Anyhow, the most dangerous drugs are the highest drugs on the schedule. Schedule 1 is the highest. Schedule 2 are usually narcotic pain relievers. Cocaine is a Schedule 2. There is still some medical use for that. Schedule 3 are drugs that are not as addictive or not as dangerous, and the chances of overdosing are less. And with the... And now once you have to remember, this is federal law. This is not state law. Once it's moved down a schedule, the higher it is on the schedule, the higher the penalties are. And the state of Kansas follows that schedule to set what the penalties are. And so does the federal court system. They set what those penalties are. So what this is going to do, and the issue is right now in the state of Colorado, for example, it's legal to possess marijuana under, you know, whatever their law is, under their state law. But it is still, under federal law, illegal, and you cannot possess THC under federal law. So what they're doing is they are knocking I'm surprised they didn't just take it completely off the schedule of dangerous drugs. I think that goes down to Schedule 4 or 5, but I think Schedule 5 is the lowest. But what this does is lessen the penalties for if you're caught and for some reason the feds want to pursue it. Obviously, in the states that do have legalized marijuana, they're not going to pursue it under state law. So it's going to be pursued under federal law, and this reduces the penalties for it and the seriousness of the crime as you drop down that drug schedule. So the other thing, and I'm getting a little far afield here. There was a problem with the businesses that were the dispensaries and stuff. They couldn't deposit money. They couldn't put it in a bank because banks are FDIC insured, which caused a problem with the feds, and this was proceeds from drugs. And I don't know, I may be wrong, but this may be part of why they are changing this, is to... So that they can get, I hate to sound cynical, but it's probably all money driven. I mean, it is, states are looking to gain tax revenue off of this. The feds, I'm sure, are going to gain tax revenue off of this somehow. The banks are probably going to make money off of this. So it's, you know, I'm surprised. I was really surprised President Obama did not move it off of, when he was in the lame duck period there, that he did not move it off of Schedule 1. And I think, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I actually read that article a day or two ago, and it doesn't surprise me they're moving it off of Schedule 1.
You know, we're going to come to a point where people will actually come in and get a drug tax stamp, right?
Maybe. There was a big stink on Facebook, you know, of whether or not those really existed.
Yeah.
So I called Kansas Department of Revenue, and they sent me two of them. I've got them now at the sheriff's office. I've got them in a frame back there. I've got two drug tax stamps.
Who delivered it?
U.S. Mail.
Oh, okay.
Showed up in the mail one day. And
I thought KBI delivered those to your door.
You know, under the Kansas drug tax stamp law, they cannot notify law enforcement. They just mail them out. You send the money in, or you can go in person. And I did ask the gal, I said, "Do you ever sell any of these?" And she said, "Very, very rarely." And she said, "The ones we do sell are usually stamp collectors."
Okay.
Stamp collector will go in there and buy one or two of them.
Yeah. Okay. You brought me a present today.
Yeah.
These are Kansas Cold Cases, the first edition.
Yep, playing cards.
The first edition of the Kansas Cold Cases playing cards features 52 cases, unsolved homicides, missing persons, unidentified remains, and to report a tip about these or other Kansas unsolved crimes. Pretty novel idea.
Yeah, KBI came out with those. And we buy them from the KBI, and they sell them for just a minimal amount. I mean, it's like maybe $2 a pack or something. But actually, what we generally do with those is the prisoners will play cards, and we give those out in the jail. Well, who's going to have the knowledge of old homicides, missing persons? It's probably going to be inmates. So we let the inmates play cards with them, hopefully. I think they've cleared a case or two off of those.
Really?
Yeah. So, and it's just to raise awareness, and they have far more cases than that are open, but they picked the ones that they thought they had a shot at solving. So yeah, it's pretty kind of a cool idea.
Martin County have any cards in here?
No, we did not. When that came out, or when those first came out, the, Walters homicide was not closed, and we were hoping that we would be able to be one of the cards in the deck. Yeah. But we didn't make it in there. So, and that looks like that's going to go to trial here in a month or two. So, you know, that is probably the oldest homicide in the state of Kansas that's actually going to trial. The attorney general's office is going to handle a prosecution on that. So it's, you know, you never know. Yeah. You never know what's going to pop up, and somebody just finally gives up the information. And you know, the Dolly Madison homicides here in Great Bend, if that ever, that's how it's going to get cleared, is somebody will give up some information sometime. And, you know, I hope it gets cleared. So,
okay. Brian Ballendeer with us here on County Edition. Again, time has just flown by. Did you go to Wichita this week?
No.
Oh, I thought you would head down to Wichita to drop off some prescription.
Oh, no, I sent my guy.
Okay. Okay.
No, sometimes I take them and.
Okay.
No, I actually came in Monday morning ready to load them up and go. And they said, nah, they sent one of the detention officers and with a jail van. They had about 250 pounds.
So it just continues to work, right?
Yep. It works very well. You know, we get a lot of nursing homes and veterinarians. I mean, everybody brings stuff in. Anything that's on the DEA schedule, we'll take. And no question, we just chunk it in the boxes and weigh it up as we go. And the health director, Karen Winkleman, told me that he got about 250 pounds this time around, which is about average for what we get. Okay. So it was a success.
We're going to have ever like a ordinance collection date, you know?
Hey, no, that just
you've got a couple pipe bombs laying around your garage, you know, bring them on in.
We'll that seems to just come walking in my front door. We've had hand grenades come in and blasting caps and you name it.
Okay. I can't wait. Brian Ballendeer will be coming in. Law enforcement, what really happened? Hope it's not for a while, though, Brian.
Yep.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for coming in today. Brian Ballendeer with us on County Edition here on 1590 KVGB 95.5 FM.